Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Don't it up.
If you love reality, this is Big Brother.
I have never in my life yelled at a girl like this.
Five pumpkin.
My ear is gone.
You're going to love the Real House Husbands podcast.
The Real House Husbands.
Talking all things reality, both on screen and in real life.
You will never believe what happened next.
Because sometimes it's juicier.
It goes out of their way to go and say that to someone.
Get ready, because it's about to get real in here with your hosts, Tim and Rod.
The mortalist of them all.
Tim, Rod. You are the winners of the amazing...
Welcome back. You're listening to Tim and Rod on the Real House Husbands podcast.
Yes.
So this week... Back.
What's happening this week, Tim?
This week we are talking about those times in your life when something is so wrong, but it feels just so goddamn right.
Yes, you know what I'm saying? Excellent start to the podcast.
Excuse me, I fucked that up.
But what we're talking about here is those sort of times. Like an example would be where you meet someone and all your friends are saying, no, he's bad news or she's bad news. Like they're only going to hurt you. But when you're with that person, it feels so right.
Yeah. Or if you're deeply in love with someone, they've stolen your heart, but they're like 70 years older than you.
So it's kind of like, well, that's so wrong that there's 70 years. I don't know why I didn't react to the 70 year age gap.
It's so wrong, but God damn it, you were in love and it's so right.
Yes. And coming up on the podcast, we're going to be talking to Hannah Ferrier from Below Deck. And I am so excited because Below Deck has become probably one of my favorite shows to watch.
We are obsessed. She is hands down a fucking icon. Excuse the French. We're obsessed with him, but you do not want to miss our chat with her coming up next. But God damn it, mate, we have an iconic story, don't we? We're going to let everyone know about a time in our life for the two of us when it was so wrong, but it just was so right.
Yeah,
you're kicking it off, girl.
Yeah, well, if you've been following us for a while on Instagram at Tim and Rod, shameless plug again.
What was that?
Tim and Rod.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yes. Well, you will know that after we won Amazing Race, we moved to Sydney for a little bit and had a few little ventures up there. But we hated it, to be honest. So COVID was almost a blessing in disguise because we got the hell out of Sydney and moved back to Newcastle. The issue, though, was that we had rented our house out we had tenants still in our house for another 6 months. The tenants said that they're going to start looking to move out, but it meant we had to live with your mum for a little while, which we thought was only going to be a couple of weeks, but it turned out to be about 4.5 months.
Mate, so we moved back home and long story short, we were living in Sydney. Guys, get this. We were paying like nearly $1,000 a week for a piece of shit, two-bedroom apartment when we were renting our brand new house out. For what? Half the price of that? Like it was.
That has a podcast studio.
It was ludicrous. They're just the polar opposites of Sydney and Newey, the prices. But anyways, we moved back to Newey. We moved in with mum. So we were living with mum for, I reckon, 4 or 5 months.
Yep.
And mum's amazing. Mum's like one of our favorite people in the entire world. But at the end of the day, we're 30-year-old men and she's our mother, which we're living with. So there was definitely some positives and some negatives. A negative. Right off the bat was, we're obviously married, we're in love, having the intimate times, the sexual intimacy, whatever you want to call it, wacky bang bang, with in the house when our mum was there was near impossible. And I don't think we ever did it when mum was home.
Well, luckily for us, your mum still worked full-time at the time.
Yeah, Monday to Friday, yeah.
Yeah, so we had the house to ourselves through the day. Thank you, Kathy. otherwise, I wouldn't have got sex ever. And if you want to know a little bit about me and Tim, I actually have a really high sex drive. Like, I kind of want it all the time.
But mine's like a roller coaster. Like, I get like outrageously horny and then I just come crashing down and like, I don't want to touch anything with a heartbeat. Like, I don't know what you call that.
Oh gosh, I didn't know it was that bad. Thanks, Tim.
But most of the time I'm horny, but then it crashes out of nowhere. So I don't know. Now, maybe need to get on some, what is it called? Like fish oil tablet. Fish oil.
Fish oil, goat weed.
Horny goat weed. I need to start getting on the horny goat weed. But most days I'm horny and at Mum's, we definitely were because we weren't really doing much. I was obviously slaying Insta in that, but we were both horny and it was impossible to have sex, which sucked.
And there was a few times like, oh my gosh, like a lot of times where your mum was normally home about that like 5, 5:30 and it would get to about like 4 and Toby Rod's like, hey, I'm over here. And then we would just be able to, we'll start doing our thing, you know, horizontal shuffle, whatever you want to call it.
Yes.
And then we'd always be like, oh my gosh, is that a car? Is that a car door?
But that one day, Mum was at work and we were like, okay, Mum's going to be home at 5:30. It was about, what, 4, 4:30-ish. Mm-hmm. We've got an hour up our sleeve to strip off and bang each other. This is going to happen. We were both in the mood. So let's do it. Come on, we've got the holy ass to ourselves. We were, what, halfway through? And this still gives me so much insane anxiety when we talk about this. We were halfway through and we heard Mum's car pull into the driveway, which is right next to our room. The car door slam. Mum was on her way into the house. We thought, oh my God, not that she's going to burst away into the room, but surely two people having sex, it's going to echo through a house. Like,
yeah, especially two men.
All that testosterone raging around. But
and one thing you should know about Kathy when she comes home, she always come home, walk through the door and she'll be like, hello. And we're like, hello.
So we jumped off the bed, butt ass naked, ran to the bathroom. I think you ran to hers. I ran to ours, jumped in the shower. Well, we were like, Mum was like, hello, anyone home? We're like, yeah.
Just having a shower.
But it was crazy that it went from such intense romantic energy to plummeted.
Multiple times.
To shriveled up penis. Oh, my God.
Oh.
Mum just walked in. What the hell are we going to do?
I know, but that just like that is a perfect example of what we're talking about. Like, it is so wrong that we're banging in your mum's house because that's just uncomfortable.
It's weird.
But it is so right because we are fairly newly married and we do that quite a lot. So, and we're used to living just by ourselves with no housemates or not having to like talk to anyone. Or except for in Sydney, the people above us could hear everything.
That was disgusting because we got a message in the letterbox from the chick that literally lived directly above us in Sydney.
We're too loud.
Saying she's like, guys, yous are too loud. Basically, we can hear everything you do. We're like, oh my God, like, does that mean they can hear us having sex? So from that point on, until we left Sydney, we would have sex pretty much with our hand over our mouth, muffling any of the noises, the moans, the screams. We thought like,
you're very graphic today too.
We thought like we were banging in prison or something. Like, it was just outrageous.
Yeah. But like back to the moral of the story is that, yeah, it is right. Like, it is so wrong because it's your mum's house, but it feels so right because, well, let's face it, you're the best I've ever had.
Yes! So we want to talk to...
Excuse me, you meant to say it back.
Mate, honestly, for everyone listening, Rod is the best sex I've ever had. His penis is amazing. His body is everything. You were the best lover, hands down, ever.
Thank you.
Better than Jesus.
Have you banged Jesus?
But we want to make a PDA. No, what's it called? PSA, sorry. We want to make a PSA to anyone out there living at home with their mum. You need to do you, boo. If you're in a relationship, you've got a boyfriend, a girlfriend, do not stop the fact that you're living at home with your mum. Do not stop that from you having sex with the person that you love.
No matter how wrong it feels, know when it's right.
Just make sure your mum's not home, baby. Check her clock off schedule and time it around that. But we've learned from our mistakes, mate, haven't we? If we ever move back in with mum.
That's never happening. I love your mum, but I'm never moving back in with parents ever again.
If we do, we're going to bang around lunchtime. There's no one ever home at lunchtime.
Coming up soon, Hannah Ferrier.
We love you, Hen.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tim, Rod, can you come to the bridge for a preference sheet meeting, please?
Rod, Tim, on my way.
Our next charter guest is the queen of reality TV and has high expectations. She is the best thing to come out of Bravo and has even been a chief stew herself.
Oh my God, please don't tell me this is going to be a difficult charter. She better not be a demanding diva bitch.
Well, on that, here are some mandatory requirements. Minimum standard Grey Goose vodka, Wagyu beef served daily, morning mimosas with crushed up Valium, and her glass is to be remain topped up at all times.
Oh my God, wow, she legit sounds like my spirit animal. This is going to be fun.
Oh, and she's also requested a quiet room with a sexy deckhand to fan her down while she records her iconic podcast, Dear Diary, You're Effed.
Okay, I'm sure I can arrange that. This sounds like it's going to be our best charter ever.
Welcome our next charter guest, Hannah Ferrier.
Yes!
That was so hard not to interrupt, I tell you.
What are you radio acting out of 10? 11?
15 and a half.
Yes.
That's so good. Thank you so much, though, Hen, for dropping in and chatting with us.
Of course.
You've already hung up. Oh, my God. Well, Hen, today
we... Yeah, exactly. I'm like, aren't we done?
Fuck yes. No, we honestly, we froth on you. You're iconic, outrageous, and we're obsessed. But today on the pod, we're talking about those moments in your life where it's wrong, but it just feels so right. And what jumps to mind instantaneously is that time on Below Deck that you hooked up with the charter guest. Like, we want to know, did that actually happen? Or was that completely glamorized, dramatized, all of the tizers? Did they throw you under the bus there?
Let's just say it didn't go down quite how it appeared on camera.
Oh. So it never happened. Those bastards.
Well, no. There was definitely, like, you know, a little smooch, but... Yeah, I didn't. I think it kind of appeared on camera, like I spent the night in the guest cabin with him, which that was a no.
And does that sort of thing, like, obviously there's a lot of staff, like you're like chief stew, then there's other managers sort of thing, but do people actually hook up with the charter guests very often, or is that literally like the biggest no-no, you're going to get fired if it happens?
Well, it really depends if the captain finds out, doesn't it?
Oh, my
the
God.
The captain probably won't find out.
Yes. And I want to know, how did you get into chief stewing in the first place? Like, how did the ball really start rolling?
So I actually was going through a bit of a hard time here in Sydney, Australia. I was about 22. And my mum decided to take me to Europe for 6 weeks. And I insisted we go to Cannes because I was like, the film festival's there. It's all glamorous.
Yes.
And then we were in a hotel in Cannes and we were supposed to be going up to a place called Grasse to see the perfumeries. And our concierge at this hotel said, don't do that. There's this gorgeous little town called Antibes. So go there. And so we went there and my mum went to the Picasso Museum and I, of course, went to the local bar. I started chatting to people and they were in yachting and then I saw all these massive yachts over there and then I basically came home and put into Google, what can you do speaking English in south of France, and yachting came up. So gave up my corporate career, sold my convertible BMW, got on a plane 3 months later and the rest is history.
Yes, that's so good, Han. So then how did Below Deck come along? So you're working on boats and that. How did someone like approach you or was there an application process or how did that work?
So it's actually a really funny story because it sounds super snooty, but I was actually after 5 years, I was kind of like, oh, I'm so sick of the meds, like,
get me out of here.
Corsica, I'm just bored. And so I took a job on a boat leaving from Florida and going up the east coast of the United States.
Yeah.
And the crew was so boring and it wasn't as pretty as I thought it was going to be. I liked New England and, you know, the Hamptons and stuff, but not so much the crew. So I got really drunk one night with one of the lifesavers in Newport. And I went in and then one of the deckhands was up and they were casting for Below Deck. So I applied for it and then forgot about it. And then I went and got drunk again with the lifesaver a few nights later.
I'm seeing
and
a pattern here.
I know. I might have accidentally thrown up on the side of the boat and forgotten about it. And so for some reason I got fired.
Yeah, that's so good. That's amazing.
And so I just went, oh, bugger yachting. I'm going to spend this summer with the girls traveling around. We chased this music festival around. We did the Greek islands, Croatia, south of France, and just partied it up. So basically every time I had a interview with the people production company, I was like leaving a beach club or trying to get home or waking up, and they were like, oh, this girl's a hot mess, she'll make great reality TV.
She's perfect.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I'm so sorry, I forgot about this interview and I'm really drunk, can we do it anyway? And they're like, absolutely.
Oh my god, we're
recording everything.
You're like, yeah, the Aussie exactly. Snooki.
Pretty much, yeah, minus the arrest, because I could always talk my way out of it.
That's so good, Ham. But for people who've never seen the show before, basically in a nutshell, it's these super yacht, millionaire, billionaire yachts. These rich people hire it out, and then it follows around the staff who work on the yachts. Below deck, literally below deck, above deck, whatever. But we're obsessed with it. But we want to know, Hen, like, let's be real. These people pay truckloads of money to have their holiday, but then there's heaps of cameras on the ship. Like, do they get their holiday discounted because they're basically filming a show on the boat, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's definitely a discount involved. And I always say, like, I don't know, some of the people, some of the guests and stuff like that, it was like, did you guys all just chip in like $5,000 each because you want to be on television kind of thing? Like, you kind of, if you have like real money, most of the time you don't want to have a microphone strapped to you and a camera following you when you're getting wasted with your mates, let's be honest. So.
Exactly.
It was definitely a new experience. I must admit, when I worked for, you know, one of the world's largest arms dealers, he probably wouldn't have been impressed with the cameras following him around.
Oh, wow. Speaking of like those are like things that you've seen, what is like the most hectic charter guest or like what's the most hectic request you've got? I know on Below Deck you say like you've arranged for like strippers for, and that sort of stuff and prostitutes and whatnot, but what's the most hectic request you ever received?
Yes.
I think probably the craziest one was I worked for this one boss. And we used to have to like drop like 9 prostitutes off in Antibes, and then the boat would leave and we would have to just basically change the boat from a party boat. And so we'd have to, because we were picking up his wife and kids and his mother in Monaco. So, and the prostitutes used to hide their like underwear and things like that so that the boss would get in trouble and hopefully split up from his wife. And so we'd have to run around, get all the condoms out, hang all the family photos up, like wipe down the mirrors and, get the handprints off the mirrors and stuff. And then we'd pick up his wife and kids and stuff and then have this like very chilled family charter. Oh, so that was very bizarre.
Wow, and have you ever seen anyone die on one of your charter things? Like, has anyone ever carked it?
No, I did work on one boat though, and a week before I joined, one of the deckhands on his break had gone free diving and he'd sadly passed away.
No.
Yeah, so that was very, like when I was doing night shifts and stuff, it was always a bit eerie because it was so soon after, and it was just weird as well because like the charter guests were on the beach when he passed away. So they had to like put his body in the garage kind of thing and then still go and pick up the charter guests and then have the police come out, and it was all just a lot.
That is hectic.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. I feel bad like changing the topic from that, but I feel like we have to. But like you're a chief stew, so obviously you had to be the boss, and you got called a bitch a lot by the other people on board. But like who's the people that you've got along least with? Like who did you clash the most with where you were just like, I wouldn't care if you fell overboard?
I think definitely like short term was Lara.
Oh,
she was
just really bad. The longest, hardest relationship was definitely Sandy.
Oh, my gosh.
Captain Sandy.
We're definitely going to come back to Sandy soon. I've got some questions for Sandy.
You're like,
Sandy.
There's a whole segment for that.
Oh, my God.
But what about that... the Russian homophobic chick.
Oh, that bitch of a chef.
Oh, Mila.
We were screaming. Yeah. Is there any homophobic shit she said off camera that you were just like, what? Why didn't they put this in the show?
So I wasn't in the van when she said that. I only found out afterwards.
Yeah.
But I was already at the stage with her, like, I think it was like maybe the first or second dinner. It was on the first charter, but she was microwaving the steak. And I was kind of looking like, at the camera guy and the audio guy and looking into the camera going like, guys,
what?
Is this for real? Like, are we really have a chef that's like microwaving? The only thing I put in the microwave is fucking microwave popcorn. Like, I am no chef. That was very bizarre.
That is so good. Hannah, as well, I know like in the Voxies and stuff on the show, you talk a lot of shit about the charter guests, have you ever had one of the guests reach out and be like, hold on a second, you were talking shit about me. Like, has anyone reached out and ripped you to shreds?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I've got a few messages and all I respond with is like, oh, I'm so sorry. Were you not aware you're on a TV show on Bravo? Like, it's kind of what you signed up for. So my sympathy levels are just not that high right now.
Yeah. And like, because it is a TV show, like with all your Voxies, are they actually on board like in between like you'll serve a meal and then go to your Voxies, or are your Voxies done after filming's wrapped? Or?
No. So we do... we do interviews between each charter. And then we do them afterwards as well.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Hen, have any of the boats you've been on, any of the mega yachts ever, like, capsized or run aground and everyone had to, like, man overboard kind of thing?
So the funniest thing, like, I just have the weirdest timing and luck in the world. It was my 12th day of yachting. I'd been in yachting for 12 days. It was already my third boat and it caught fire like while we were cruising with charter guests on board. And it was hilarious because like we put out a SOS and another charter boat came and they were picking up the guests. And I like went to get on it and they were like, no, you're the crew. You've got to stay on the boat and fight the fire. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I get paid enough for this. Yeah, I was like, and I really wasn't paying much attention in my fire training. So yeah. I don't really know what I'm doing.
That's so good.
And who would be the most famous person that's been on board? I'm not sure if you're allowed to say that.
Yeah.
Do you know what? It's so funny because in the med, you kind of either work for the Russians or you work for like the high profile charter boats with high profile charter guests. But because I think you have that like, you know, you're rubbing with the, you know, the kind of famous, they don't pay as well. So I always work for the Russians and the money.
Yeah.
What's the biggest tip, Hen, you've ever gotten? On boat. What's it called? On deck.
I think we did. So I used to have this boss that I don't know. I think maybe he was had a bit of a crush. But whenever he'd go out, he'd come back with like Chanel earrings or a bag or like a diamond bracelet. So
wait, for you or for himself?
For me.
Oh, what?
Yeah. So I think it was probably like that charter season, even though we only got, I think we got like a 5,000 euro tip at the end of the season, but it was probably the gifts that I got from him that were like, and it was always so awkward. I was like, thanks. So how's your wife?
So when Conrad asked for his 50 bucks back, you'd be like, bitch, I get Chanel from my charter.
Shove it up your ass, bitch.
And the funniest thing was, is like, I think what annoyed me with that situation is I was like, we're halfway through the charter season and we've done like 12,000 euros in tips. Whoa. Like, what are you doing hitting me up for a 50, mate? Like, I just, cause you know, like, I think in Australia, we're very much like a, you know, like, oh, I'll grab you this. And then when you're out, you grab that or like whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just very like, and especially if you're kind of dating someone.
Yeah.
It's just very, it was so bizarre to me. And everyone's like, oh my God, you're a gold digger. And I'm like, bitch, if I'm going to dig for gold, it's going to be fucking more than 50 euros.
I believe from stalking, doesn't Conrad now have his current girlfriend is a Hannah as well?
It's a Hannah and her last name is Roberts, which is Josh's last name.
Yes. I reckon he's still in love with you, hey?
Someone sent it to me and I'm like, that's literally going to be my name in 6 months. This is weird.
And talking about love, obviously not Sandy, but have you ever made love to any of the captains on boat? I kept saying on boat. What the fuck is it called?
Not on below deck, that's for sure. Mark wasn't my cup of tea. I think that you naturally end up in relationships with fellow crew, and one of them was a captain, my captain, because you're together like for like 6 months, 24/7, and there's no one else around, and you know
they'll do.
You get bored.
Am I going to say Captain Lee's a bit of a dilf, isn't he? I reckon he's sexy.
Captain Lee's the best. I love him, and I love Glenn on the sailing season.
Yeah, no, I love Glenn. He's such a softy butt.
And did Sandy ever hit on you?
No. I don't think so. There was weird moments where sexual I'd be like tension. Talking to her about like a work thing and she's like, your eyes are beautiful. I'm like, oh, okay. So back to the beach picnic.
Oh, my God.
So with let's delve into the Sandy situation, shall we?
Yes. Break it down, girl.
So like obviously like she presents herself as like all for women and like women's rights, equality, all this sort of stuff. But then she like quite quick to like throw you under the bus in her boxes and in interviews since the show's wrapped and things like that. I think you even put something on your Instagram a couple of weeks ago about something she said about you.
Yeah.
Like how has that relationship like unfolded?
I think it was very difficult from the start because I think she kind of joined the boat and definitely wanted to be top dog, which is fine. You're the captain. I understand that.
Yeah.
But I was kind of just there to do my job. And it just felt like a lot of the time it was quite difficult because I felt like she was very much trying to find fault with what I was doing. So that was always difficult because you just feel like I'm trying to concentrate on the guests and things like that. But at the same time, I know that I constantly have to double check myself with what's going on and what Sandy wants as well. So it was like having a really, you know, difficult charter guest on board all the time, no matter what guest she had. So
were you getting vibes, Hen, from the get-go that she just wanted you gone? Like, were you sensing that she just wasn't feeling you and wanted you off the boat?
Oh, yes, 100%.
Really? Just the way she talked to you, treated you? Kind of thing?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Was there like...
And I think...
Oh, sorry, you go.
No, I was just going to say, I think the one thing that I probably should have played smarter at the start was just she really enjoys the ego boost from her crew.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I'm a bit more like, hey, I'm just here to do my job. How are you going? You know, like...
Yeah.
I'm like, I've got a stroke, you know, 10... charter guest egos, like
I don't need to stroke my captains as well.
Yeah, exactly.
I love how she always goes on about how like yachting's her life, but then there's like how many boats in the Mediterranean that she chooses to get on the one with cameras.
Yeah. I know, it seems a bit like moronic to me because I'm like, all you talk about like in interviews is like, oh, Hannah's just there for the cameras and I'm like but, like, what are you there for? Because there's plenty of boats you can work on that don't have cameras. So.
Nice. Was there anything Captain Sandy said to you, Hen, that just never got aired that you think, oh, my God, if this had been aired, this would have just made her look like a complete bitch?
Oh, mate, how long's your podcast?
For you, Hen, it's as long as we need it to be.
Really? So there's a truckload of stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Oh. I feel like it was almost, you know, not saying anything about production, but I feel like she did get a very good edit.
Yes.
For the first kind of three seasons. And then it was almost like with the stuff with Kiko and everything like that, it would be very difficult to edit that in a good light. So, yeah.
Well, I want to get into the nitty gritty and the most entertaining, like, I guess, episode or couple of episodes juicy, on Bravo. Juicy.
Yes.
Is the episode you get fired for Valium and your CBD pen.
Yeah.
So that looked just so uncomfortable. That conversation where you get called up to the bridge and you sit down and she's like, Hannah, you brought drugs on board. Like, and you just look like dumbfounded. You just look like, what are you even talking about? Like, it came across really confusing as a viewer.
Yeah.
Like, can you explain a bit of the behind the scenes to that?
I guess I was confused because it's never been hidden.
Like, no way.
You know, it's like basically, you know, you working on a boat for 4 years and being like, I wear a size 12. I wear a size 12. I wear a size 12. And then being pulled up and they're like, oh my God, we just found out you wear a size 12. Like, I was just like, but you've always known I wear a size 12. So why is it a problem now, you know?
Oh my God. Well, that's the thing we love about you, Hen, because you were from the get-go so open and honest about your struggles with anxiety, working on the boat and whatnot. And what do you think contributed to those intense anxiety and sort of panic attacks? Is that just due to filming the show or the stuff from Sandy you're getting or just the pressures of keeping all your charter guests happy?
I think it's like, I always say Below Deck's such an amazing show because it's a perfect storm. So yes. It doesn't need to be like overproduced. You can kind of, it is this thing where you're like, you have sleep deprivation, alcohol, high stress levels.
Yeah.
You know, hierarchy where you can't like speak back. Then you have not being able to see your family and friends, not having conversations without a microphone on. And it kind of just bubbles up. And then I think especially the first anxiety attack I had was like with Conrad, when we were filming that season. And it was like, I realized that it was too far gone to back out of.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't, you know, then you have to see the person 24/7, but he wasn't the type of person that I wanted to like be with, but you get into this stuck situation. And I think that's one of the worst things that builds anxiety is where you feel like you don't have an out.
Yes. Yeah.
And, I think as well, like what people didn't realize or some of them didn't realize, it's like, you also need to remember that I've filmed seasons before. So I know the backlash of social media and all of that sort of stuff. And I deal with it a lot better now, but back then it was like, what are people going to think when this is and that is? And then you're thinking about that and you're just going, how do I get out of this situation without, you know, the whole crew turning against me? And like, it just bubbled over to the top. And like the night before, I'd been on the dock till like 4 o'clock in the morning, just going like, I don't want to do this. Like I was thinking about leaving and going home, but then you're going, this is also my livelihood and my work. I can't leave because of a personal issue. And it just bubbles over and gets too much.
Was there ever a time there that it did get too much where you did actually go to production and say, look, I'm done. I'm out. I'm not doing this anymore.
There was one.
Well,
no
one
way.
Situation.
Is that earlier on in the seasons or is that close to the, like?
That was earlier on in the seasons, actually. Like I think the season with like Bugs and whoever was my other stew that season. And like, it just like, God. Especially when you feel like you're trying to do your job and then you're getting all this backlash and hatred for doing your job. Yeah. And I was just like, this just isn't worth it. Like I'm having anxiety. And the one thing like my parents always said to me, like, is like, you have to, like, when it's really affecting your mental health like that, you've got to get out.
Yes.
But then when you're mid-season and you're filming and stuff, it's just, you don't feel like that's really an option. And, you know, you're very much in your own head. So.
Yeah. And Hen, you were hands down easy the star of the show. When you left, it just was never the same again. Like, we obviously still watch it, but every episode we're like, bring her back, bring her back. But there's a lot of conspiracy theories. I don't know if you're aware, but a lot of conspiracy theories out there that people reckon that you wanted to leave, you wanted to get married, have a baby, live your best life, that you left the stuff out so you would get caught and get fired. Is there any truth to that?
No, and I didn't leave the stuff out. The stuff was in my handbag.
Fucking
Malia.
Oh, that bitch.
Yeah.
She went through your handbag and then went to Sandy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You would have been fuming.
Yeah, it was, to me, I just go like, to me, there's like, you know, do your job, make good reality TV, but there's also just that core of like, I've always still tried, you know, I can be a smart ass in interviews. I can be hard on the girls sometimes and stuff, but I feel like my core has always been, my core's good, you know? So yeah. I would never like mess with someone's life like that, because you're not as well, like Malia would have been very aware, like you're doing this on television, like you're getting someone fired for prescription medication on television in front of the world. Like that's just, to me, that's just gross and dirty, you know?
In the reunion, she has the nerve to say that it's like, it's her duty. She wasn't risking her career and all that sort of stuff. But it, like, she'd also calmed you down and like helped you in previous seasons when you were having a bit of a panic attack. So I thought that was a bit of a bitch move.
She was kicking you while you were down, which is just hard to watch. Like, it broke your heart.
Well, the only reason that she did that was because I didn't want to share a cabin with Bugs, so she couldn't share a cabin with her boyfriend. And I was like, gosh, this is literally like camp, you know?
Yeah, I know, back in school.
Yeah.
Like, speaking of, like, obviously there's cameras around all the time and everyone goes out drinking and whatnot. There's a few times where I actually felt like almost uncomfortable watching with some of the guys with how they were like aggressive towards women, like more so on the just normal below deck, not below deck med. Like there was like Bobby and Ashton and they would kick off, they would punch windows, they would be right up in women's faces and going like hectic. And I'm like, do you not realize there's a camera there, guys? Like this is going to get shown.
I know. It's very, very strange to me.
Oh, my God. That's crazy. And this is so random, but, like, have you ever been white girl wasted and woken up on another boat? And been like, where the fuck am I?
100%. I just love how you just own that.
Weekly, weekly.
Yeah, exactly. That's called a Sunday, boys. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I know. I
Sunday sesh, baby. That's so good.
So, Han, so can you tell us a little bit now? So, what are you, what's this? It's Ocean Training Academy, I think it's called, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, this is something, Ocean International Training Academy was something I started when I was like 6 months pregnant and I was in the second trimester and I was like, my body is a temple. I'm growing a human. I feel fabulous. And so, I started OITA, which is what I call it because it's such a mouthful. But, I just go, it was something that I went like, there's so many, I get so many DMs going like, how do I get into yachting? How do I start this? Because people watch it on TV and they think it's completely unobtainable when it's not.
Yeah.
And so I started this training academy so that people could basically from the comfort of their own home, learn how to get into the industry. So I broke it up into two different modules. The bronze is kind of like, if you're interested in the industry and you want to learn more about the how to, you know, the how, who, what, why, where.
Yeah.
And then the silver course is like, if you've done that and you want to get into the industry, this teaches you how to actually get into the industry. Because as a chief stew, you know, I've interviewed literally hundreds of stewardesses and I go, if I had a stewardess that like a green stew, which is what we call like someone with no experience. Yeah. If I had a green stew come in and know the difference between Russian service and silver service, I'd be like, mind blown, you're hired.
Yes.
So basically, I'm giving them like the perfect cheat guide and the training that they can do at home to actually work on yachts. And watching these, like I just had a young girl from Oklahoma and I've been like working with her for 6 months and she's just got her first job as a second stewardess in the Caribbean. She's in the Bahamas.
Yes.
She's feeding the wild pigs. And it's like watching these girls that would never have gotten into, and guys, never have gotten into yachting and watching like the fact that I can be at home with my daughter and actually help shape people's lives and get them out there and out their hometowns and working on yachts and living. And I'm very honest about the industry. I don't pretend that it's anything that it's not. It's bloody hard work and you've got to really dedicate your life to it and you're going to miss out on things in your life at home. But just watching these people go out and actually start living their dreams is something that gives me so much job satisfaction and I can be at home with my daughter, which is amazing.
I wish I knew about something like this when I was like 21 because I would have gone and done
that's
it for
what
sure.
Everyone says,
can we do it now? We're not, are we too old for it? Because I'm going to sign up.
Of course you can, honey. I'll even give you a discount.
Friends, yeah.
That's so good. And so for people who don't know, you've actually got your own podcast going into season two called Dear Diary, yes. You're Effed. How amazing is that? What can we expect from season two?
So season two is going to be hilarious. We're entering, so basically 19 to like 23, which was the years that I was in corporate and partying my ass off in Sydney and starting yachting. So
I'm
so excited.
Is there a cover of the diary on this one? Who's on the cover?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Didn't hit up any crazy.
I'm going to reveal that in my own podcast.
Fair enough.
We hope you've hit up some crazy gay clubs in Sydney.
Oh, yeah. I used to be called the Princess Podium, like the Podium Princess at Stonewall. I'm sure there'll be a few stories from them.
Well, we're the current holders of that title.
Well, hit me up next time you're in town, as long as it's before 8 p.m.
So good. But here's just a suggestion. You should have done this. I'm so angry you didn't. A live podcast of you when you were delivering your baby. I reckon that would have been so incredible because you were iconic at the best of times. You in labor would just be the greatest thing ever. That should have happened.
No, I absolutely would never do that. No one wants to see that. My fucking fiance hardly wanted to see that.
Were you swearing your head off?
No, but there was one really funny time that I'll share with you. It was basically I'd gone and got trained to do hypnobirthing. So I was aiming for a natural birth, but I had some complications, unfortunately.
Oh, no.
But basically I was in the water, in the birthing suite, laboring, and I had the gas and the midwife, I'd already Googled it, like, can too much gas affect a baby? It cannot, for those of you playing along at home.
Gas me up, baby.
And I was literally, and she's like, Hannah, you only have the gas when you have a contraction. And I looked at Josh and I was like, this is the first kind of semi-ha I've had in a year. Leave me alone with my bloody gas.
I'll be like, the contractions are 1 minute apart. And I'll be like, well, push then. You'll be like, no, I'm good.
Exactly. You're in the birthing pool faking contractions.
Well, if you don't already, make sure you're following Hannah on Instagram and subscribe and listen to her podcast. It's literally my favorite one that I listen to at the gym all the time.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for joining us on our podcast, Hannah.
Of course. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Thanks, Han. We've loved you since day one. You were the best and you're unreal. Keep living your life and living the dream.
Love you guys too. I cannot wait to drink some Grey Goose and Verve with you soon.
We're on our way.
See you soon, Han. We love you.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Oh, my God. How good is Hannah Ferrier? She is absolutely incredible.
She's the queen.
Yes. She's the definition of a fierce-ass reality icon that is going to be iconic forever.
Yeah, she honestly is. She's like a working mum. So make sure you, go and follow her on Instagram. Honestly, she is incredible. Hannah Ferrier 234. She has her Oceans Training Academy, Oceans International Training Academy, I should say. So if you want to go work on yachts, make sure you, sign up to that. She can help you along and whatnot. And then her podcast is literally one of my favorites. So make sure you go and listen to that at Hannah's podcast.
Yes. I love, mate, that our job now is just to chat to people we love and admire. How cool is that? Like chatting to Hannah, it was just so easy. And for those of you who don't follow us on Instagram, first of all, what are you doing? Go follow out Tim and Rob. But for those of you who do, you probably saw that we actually hung out with Hannah and she was so much We loved her, but she was more lovable, more likable, more genuine in person.
Yeah.
We got white girl wasted at her pool, dancing around, twerking. It was just the greatest day. This is outrageous, but apart from my wedding, that was one of the greatest days of my life.
I'm so glad you said that. Thank you. Thank you for clarifying. But Hannah is actually like, yeah, just amazing. It's she's so much like who she is on TV, which shows that she's not putting on a front or a character or anything.
Yeah.
But just even more genuine and more nice and more real and just so much fun.
And she was talking about herself, but then she was asking about us, like chatting about what she's doing, then what are you boys doing? Like, to me, that's everything a human being should be.
Yeah, 100%. And if you want to keep up to date with all things The Real House Husbands podcast, make sure you are following us on Instagram at Tim and Rod. And we want to hear from you. If there's things you want to see or hear on this podcast, make sure you slide into our DMs. Let us know what you want to hear, what guests you want.
Yes.
You know, just suggestions because we want to impress you.
And do not miss next week. We are so excited for the guest we're talking to. We're not going to tell you if it's a guy. We're not going to tell you if it's a girl. We're not going to tell you if it's an animal. It is something amazing. And you are going to be so obsessed when we drop the bomb who is going to be joining us. But I'm not going to lie. This week's going to be hard to beat. Whoever is going to follow Hannah is a hard act to follow. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm going to say.
But then again, I said that about Ryan. I said that about Perez. I said that about Aaron. You know what I mean? Like every guest we've ever had, Ellie.
Yeah. Like, holy shit, we can pat ourselves on the back, mate. We've gotten some top-notch guests.
That's because our podcast is the number one ranked podcast. I'm just made that
in the world. Number one on iTunes, baby. If that's what we think and believe, that's the reality.
Yes. Well, we're manifesting that to the universe. So number one soon.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much, guys, for listening. We'll see you guys next week on The Real House Husbands podcast.
Bye, bye, bye.
Bye.
It's time to go.
Thanks for listening to The Real House Husbands podcast.
Bye, pumpkin.
Keep up to date with at Tim and Rod on Instagram.
Doing what we love to do the most.
And subscribe so you don't miss the next episode.